9:56 to be precise, on January 25th, 2012. It's chilly. 30 degrees. There's not a lot of wind, but it is chilly. I've got the walk in this morning before I get settled. I've been pretty much on the go since around 7 o'clock, 7:30, when I had to take elder daughter to All City Band rehearsal at a different school. Younger daughter is also in the All City Band. They will both be performing in a concert this evening, which will pretty much shoot down most of the night. So I'm trying to get stuff lined up for Friday so that I can get out of here and head down to Colorado Springs at a reasonable hour of the day. I'm not sure that's going to work out, but we'll see what we can do. I'm really looking forward to a couple of days of conferencing and hanging out with other writers, hanging out with some fans, and seeing what develops from that. I'm going to take my netbook and get the, if there's any time left over between sessions or in the evening or something, work on call to try to get some more of that hammered out. I'm going to try to do some of it today, but I'm not holding out a lot of hope for it. There's too much other stuff happening I need to deal with. So, yeah, I got a phone call yesterday right at the end. I wasn't expecting the call for another hour, but when it came through, it froze the handset and chopped off my walk in the recording of my talk, which was unfortunate, but it was an interesting conversation with a guy from England, which I thought was nice that he would take an hour and call and talk to me. So we'll see what happens, if anything might come from that. It's an interesting opportunity for foreign rights. And we'll see how it shakes loose, see how it all works out. Some things that aren't negotiable in this deal with the podcast. We can't not do the podcast. That's always going to be there. No deal that requires me to pull podcasts off will get signed. Or rather, let's say, I can't imagine the deal could possibly be lucrative enough that making the podcast come down would make any sense commercially. Whether it makes sense from some company's business perspective or not, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense from mine. I'm the one who has to approve the deal. So, odd sound. It's a kind of crumping sound, sort of reminiscent of an artillery barrage off in the distance. You hear a lot of odd sounds, particularly when in roofing season, when everybody and their nail gun gets up on the roofs around town, starts hammering away at shingles. It's a bunch of woodpeckers gone mad. A bunch of big woodpeckers gone mad. I'm tired today. I don't know why I'm so tired. I shouldn't be. So today also marks 4 weeks since Ryden said they were going to be offline for about 5 days. Haven't heard much. I got one note about a week ago saying Robin was on her way to California. And yes, there's more behind the scenes here that I do know about that I'm not talking about because it's not my story to tell. And a great deal of that it's serious. It's life changing, and it's coloring my willingness to be too much of a hard ass, rightly or wrongly. Losing my earbud. Sorry for the noise. Garbage truck. Oh yeah. Ah, the things you hear on the morning walk, huh? Anyway. We're doing what we can do. I'm not sure where this is all going to go. Hey, is anybody ever sure where anything's going to go? I keep getting nasty grams, emails from fans who are upset with me or upset with Ryden, frustrated with the process, and believe me, I'm pretty sympathetic with those. There are things that I could do that I am purposefully choosing not to do, like take the books back and publish them myself. It may come to that. It's kind of a final step, and it's one of those things that I'm not going to undertake lightly, and certainly not going to undertake on the basis of irate emails. I've written to try to get a status update. We'll see how far that gets. It's very difficult to justify the waiting, not having any more information than what we have. That's my biggest problem at this point. Of course, the reality is, the right approach here is that I should have been hammering out Cypheria's call this month. I should have been in beta readers' hands by now, and of course it's not, and it's my own fault. That part's my fault. Interesting times. Yawn. I did say I was tired. I slept pretty well last night. I didn't get up too particularly early. I didn't go to bed too late last night. For some reason, I'm really groggy today. I don't know if it's not enough coffee or what. But I'm feeling quite grog. The class is proving to be interesting. I've made a couple of boo-boos in terms of assignments for people who turned them in, and then I dropped them. I didn't see them come by. Or I saw them come by, but then forgot that they had come by. And we'll make it right. We'll fix it up. There's only so much you can do. And ironically, having the phone collect my email for me has been somewhat of a problem, because stuff comes into the phone and it's a very small window and it disappears quickly. So I'll see it, I'll read it, and then it'll get transferred over to my computer as already read. And I really only pay attention to unread messages these days, so it gets kind of lost in the sauce, which is awkward. So I don't know, the solution is not necessarily not to read it on my phone, but perhaps as some sort of flagging option that I can mark the mail that needs additional attention for those things that I don't answer right away on the phone. That's the thing, is that I handle about 90% of my email on my phone. So fan messages come to my phone. I answer. Inquiries, conversations, assignments, they come to my phone and I answer. But then anything that needs a follow-up, anything needs additional attention later, tends to get lost because I'm so tied into doing whatever has to happen next. I'm a victim of the urgent, and I'm sacrificing the important. It's not the first time in my life this has happened. It happens on a regular basis, frankly. And eventually I'll get it back under control. As more and more deadlines come up, as more and more obligations become more pressing, they'll get addressed. I still owe Tony C. Smith a horror story for his Tales of Terror. And I owe a book to two authors each an audio book, which I gotta get going because I haven't got them done. First one's been started. I got feedback from the author on the first one and helped me understand where I'd gotten it wrong. You know, it's a fantasy novel with a serious character that has a early appearance that doesn't really hint at his later seriousness, and unfortunately I gave him the wrong kind of voice tone, the wrong kind of accent, so I need to go back and redo that. It's a short book, it's only 40,000 words, so it shouldn't take too awfully long. Just get my butt in gear, get into the studio and get recording. It's difficult to do because I never know what day I'm going to be able to record. In the past, I've always said, well, I'm going to record at this time of day every day. I always had an hour or two where I could count on having a quiet house. That hasn't been the case for months now. I haven't been able to rely on having a house to myself at any given point in time. And as a result, a lot of things get stacked up so that when I do get the house to myself, those things get done, but not all of them get done. And things like recording are some of the things that take a lot of time that don't have a lot of immediate effect on the household and as a result get postponed. The class so far is going good. We're halfway through the second week. Today's Wednesday. I'm going to leave them a note. I just recorded a few notes about Postman, encouraging them to think carefully about what they're reading. Because Postman does something that I think a lot of people do, and that he's writing an essay. He's not writing any kind of treatise, any kind of thesis. He's writing an essay on how he thinks this construct, this intellectual construct that he's identified as technopoly, has taken over culture. And he argues it from, very persuasively, from the standpoint of laying out a lot of ideas, a lot of opinions as factual, and then extrapolating from those opinions as if those opinions were fact to new opinions, which he holds up as being largely factual. But in fact, the whole thing is nothing more than a tissue of unsupported ideas. I can't remember if I talked to you about one of them, that it's that the class in particular is picked up on, and that's that the schools, a statement that he makes, something along the lines of schools are teaching their students, their children, how to use computerized systems rather than subjects that might be more important to them. Now, he wrote this, he had to have written this in like 1990, 91. It was published in 93, so publishing wasn't any faster in those days than it is now. So it had to have gone to his agent around mid-91. He had to have written it before that. And this is before the World Wide Web. He gives absolutely no justification for the statement that schools are teaching computerized systems. Compared to what we have in schools today, which is what my students in my class are reading it as, something that's going on today, their contemporaneous observations about the classroom today are being overlaid onto Postman's vision of what the classroom might have been 20 years ago. And they're drawing conclusions based on this unsupported assertion that we are teaching kids, students, how to run computerized systems. When in fact, even today, we are teaching them how to run computerized systems. It can't be. The teachers don't know how to run computerized systems. It's on its face, it's laughable. And yet it's held up as gospel. And my students are sucking it up. They're taking it in as if it were fact. And applying it as if it were factual today, when it wasn't even factual then. So it's an interesting dilemma. It's an interesting problem. And he doesn't tell what he thinks might be more important to them. That's another part of it that doesn't ring true to me. It doesn't have the same kind of impetus that I think he really wants to be getting at, and underscores how important it is, not just on the internet, but in everything you read, to assess credibility. What do you think is more important to children? If not computerized systems, then what? If not, you know, if this is a problem, what do you suggest instead? And he offers no suggestions. He offers no alternatives.
Morning.
He offers no ideas to support the assertion that schools are teaching their children how to run computerized systems instead of things that are of more value, more importance to them. So, and he does this a lot. He lays this stuff out and then builds an argument around these statements that are, from my perspective, arguably quite false. One of my students wrote about how things certainly have changed in education since the introduction of the television and the computer in the classroom. And my response to her was, really? Like, what? Do we not do grades anymore? Her argument is that the students aren't paying attention as well as they used to. And I think that's an interesting observation, but it's also unsupported. A lot of people are reading Mark Prensky's Digital Natives text and thinking, oh, well, yes, of course. Prensky says that the modern children are different because their brain structures are changed because of their constant immersion in the digital realm, which is, of course, stupid. The reality is Prensky's research is based on brain trauma data. It's not based on anything that approaches any kind of rigor and has nothing to do with children who have not suffered traumatic brain injury, but he doesn't really get too far down that road to let people know where the source of his differences in brains today versus brains from 40 years ago might arise. The notion of the digital native and the digital immigrant is almost laughable, except too many people are taking it seriously. And that's a real problem. Anyway, I made it all the way around. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. I'll talk to you then.